Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين.
You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected.
Community-wide Shura and AM 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event to strengthen our national intelligentsia and network. Contact underwriting today at cwsconline@gmail.com. That's cwsconline@gmail.com. Or call 910-317-0297. 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake this world into a better place.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
What the technology winds up doing, especially I'm talking about the technology winds up separating the generations. That's what they did. So why is this important? It's just important that Muslims understand the way that the technology worked and the way that the technology advanced from what was going on in the pioneer generation to what's going on in the social media generation. We call it the social media generation because the advancements that happened in the social media generation winded up attracting the children. Welcome to, first of all, let me say welcome to the Upload Life. I'm basically thank Allah for the technology. I winded up using my cell phone, okay, technology, to actually, call into the program. And even though the computer direct connect isn't working on Blog Talk Radio, because I was able to call in with my telephone, you're able to hear me now, because this is what the technology has done. Anyway, 779-770 is using the technology also to listen to the radio program. So I started off basically saying that verily your Lord is Allah, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and is firmly established on the throne of authority, regulating and governing all things, even technology. No intercessor can plead with him except after his leave hath been attained. This is Allah, your Lord. Him therefore serve ye. Will you not celebrate his praises? Again, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Surah 16, verse 3. He has created the heavens and the earth for just means. Far is he above having the partners in technology or anything else that they ascribe to him. Presidents and dictators, far is he. He has created man from a sperm drop. And behold, this same man becomes an open disputer. Surah 14, Ibrahim, verse 19. Seest thou not that Allah created the heavens and the earth in truth? If he so, he can remove you and put in your places a whole new creation. Or, so this is Surah 27, verse 60. Or, who have created the heavens and the earth, and who sends down rain from the sky? Yea, with it we cause to grow well-planted orchards of full of beauty and delight. It is not in your power to cause the growth of the trees in them, in the orchards. Can there be another God besides Allah? Nay, they are a people who swerve from justice. So here on the Upload Life, we have been talking about the advancements in technology. We're calling it technology today because at one time, we don't know what they'll be calling it tomorrow, but right now they're calling it technology. When we talk about what's being taught in school, they have something that's called the STEM projects, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. Okay? So with technology, this idea of technology wasn't a word that was used during the Industrial Revolution. The Industrial Revolution had to do more with the transition from creating goods by hand to using machines. And what we did is we used idea of the cotton gin. And we were talking about the cotton gin as a basis of, because we know it is a well-known fact that cotton was first picked by hand by the slaves that were brought over from Africa to America. So when the slaves were brought over, they had to work the cotton fields. And this was done by hand. The fruits was done by hand. Everything was done by hand at that time. But it wasn't done by the slave master. We call it the slave master, but it wasn't done by the head of the corporation. My family was brought from Africa and landed in Portsmouth, Virginia. That's Portsmouth, P-O-R-T-A-H. Portsmouth is M-O-U-T-H. So in Virginia, the shape of the inlet that goes into Virginia, they called it Portsmouth, but they don't pronounce it Portsmouth. They pronounce it Portsmouth, Virginia. And we were sold to the Jones family. So, and I'm talking about my ancestors. So my name was William Jones. And when I started working, and especially after I read the message to the black man, oh my gosh, I read the message to the black man. It was like, I go to work and people, Jones, I want you to do so and so and so and so and so. Jones. Jones. And I hated to hear, you know, my supervisor call my name. I hated it. Of course, I thought it was like the slave master calling me. So I wound up changing my name from Jones to Kareem. You know, me and the family, we changed it to Kareem. And then when they would call my name, Kareem, it sounded a whole lot better, a whole lot better. Yeah, but thing is that when I changed my name, I think I should let you know this, when I changed my name to Kareem, this was early in the transition of the Imam W. Dean Muhammad. So I didn't use William Abdul Kareem. I didn't use that. I didn't understand that. But people were calling me Kareem. They were calling me Kareem, so I took the name Kareem. That's how that went. So that's how I got the name William Kareem, as opposed to William Abdul Kareem. Okay? That's a little history just about myself and how that, you know, how that happened. So we were talking about the industrial generation and how the cotton gin actually came about. And the cotton gin came about because it was something that was a machine. And a machine that basically could pick the cotton much better, not in this, I don't know if better, but it could be done without human beings. So if you built the machine, it's like, yo, you know, we'll use the machine, and we don't have to, you know, most of the time that's the way, but we don't have to pay these slaves. We don't have to do anything with them. We can just go ahead and have the machine do it. So they paid the money for the machine and put the slaves out of work. But the thing is that while Eli Whitney is best remembered as the inventor of the cotton gin, he was also the father of the mass production method. Okay? In 1798, this is early 1800s, he figured out how to manufacture muskets by machine so that the parts were interchangeable. It was as a manufacturer of muskets that Whitney became rich. Yeah, it wasn't from the – see, so now listen. It wasn't from the cotton gin. You know, I think that's the point that they're making, that they're saying that he became rich from creating guns, not from creating the cotton gin. And I would take it that they say that because the question came up, did African Americans invent the cotton gin? The invention, and it says, the invention of the cotton gin. Now, I want you to know I'm using Google to get this information right now. The invention of the cotton gin, a device that separates cotton fibers from the seeds, is typically attributed to Eli Whitney, who was granted the patent for the cotton gin in 1794. Yet others contributed to its making. This is the way they, you know, get around the fact that Africans made it. Yet others contributed to its making, including a woman, Catherine Green, and African slaves, two groups that gained little recognition for their input. And so they wanted to make a distinction that basically says that Eli Whitney didn't get his money from the cotton gin, for making the cotton gin. He got his money from making muskets. But look, as Africans in America, we understand the game that's going down, and we're not going to play it. But the point only being, we're not here to lambast Eli Whitney. We're not here to do that. But what we're here to do is to follow the transition of things was made by hand, you know, on the human being going into Allah's creation and picking fruits, cotton, and everything else by hand from Allah's creation. Because human beings couldn't create the cotton, all right, from the cotton. He couldn't. The human beings. It's Allah that did that. Allah created the cotton. And then the human being put the slaves in the field to pick the cotton that Allah allowed to grow. Okay? So, you know, this thing is that, you know, Allah is in control. Even at the time, even though the human being was making money regarding it, it's important to understand that Allah was in control as far as that's concerned. Allah was in control. But Allah was the one who allowed the cotton to grow. We should never forget that. Okay? And who also created the slave that was capable of picking the cotton. And who was also capable of creating the man, the human being, who created a system to make sure that he would get paid by making a patent office, and he registered the patent for the cotton machine. So that was the industrial generation. And so the industrial revolution was the transition to new manufacturing processes that occurred during the period from around 1760 to about 1820, so it says. This is the industrial, this is when there were great machines that were being made. These great machines that were being made to manufacture. That was a big word, manufacturing. Manufacturing. There was a bank that was called Manufacturers Hanover Trust. Okay? So manufacturing and in the industrial period in America is very important to understand the transition from hand to machine. Okay? And it's important to understand that as far as the Industrial Revolution was concerned, because that's what they called it, of course, everybody started making machines, it's important to understand and keep in mind that the machines was made by material that came from Allah's creation. That's important. Don't let that, oh, you know, look, yo, he created cotton gin. But he had to use materials that come from Allah's creation in order to get that done. So we start talking about machinery. So we got this industrial nation. But then something else is happening because another idea was, or science was thought up. When we especially we talk about the human being starting to understand some of the other techniques of Allah's creation. And one of the techniques that he started to understand, they say that it started with Ben Franklin, who was flying a kite, and he put a key on the kite in order to, you know, make sure that it didn't go out into space. And the key, the lightning struck the key, or the lightning struck the kite that went down to the key. And then this was the idea that Benjamin Franklin came up with. As a matter of fact, let's be more accurate. Benjamin Franklin, discovery of electricity. What did Benjamin Franklin discover about electricity? Franklin's experiment had demonstrated the connection between lightning and electricity. To dispel another myth, Franklin's kite was not struck by lightning. If it had been, he probably would have been electrocuted, experts say. Instead, the kite picked up the ambient electrical charge from the storm. So that's what the situation was, picked up the energy from the storm, okay? So just to get you to understand, or you know, so that we understand that there were other, there's just so much that goes on in Allah's creation that he came to understand that about electricity. And because he came to understand that about electricity here in America, then, you know, we started to, experiment with lightning rods being on the roof and lightning being struck by lightning and coming into a cell, then we'd be able to light the house, et cetera, you know, all kinds of things. But I'm just, the point that I'm basically trying to make is there was a science, a technique, a system that was discovered by the human being. And that human being, what he did was he, which was Benjamin Franklin, he was able to, in America, we were able to move forward with something that was already in the law's creation. It's just that the human being started to understand it. I'm going to take a pause right now. And what I'm going to do is we're halfway through the program. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a PSA. Okay. Okay. So Graceline Products, Graceline Credit Union. Here we go.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so very much also, sir. Thank you very much. Okay, this is welcome to the Upload Life. We're talking about the transition from handmade products to the Industrial Revolution. And I have to go a little faster now because, we're almost out of time. But what I'm trying to do is bring us up to the point of technology that's actually going today. And it's very important to understand that with all that the technology is doing, Allah is still the one that's in control. That's the point. Why you say that? Why you say that Allah is in control? Because the technology, the science that's being discovered and used was put there by the creator of the heavens and the earth. That's what I'm saying, man. Because the creator of the heavens and the earth is the one that, helped with the discovery of electricity. You know, he was out there flying. He was doing some kind of experiment, and I think he discovered it by accident, really, myself. But anyway, he got an epiphany that basically said, oh, wow, there's an energy out there that we can capture. That's what we're talking about. There's an energy out there that we can capture. So, and that energy that they found that they could capture, they called it electricity. But then they proceeded to move on because they found there was another energy that could be captured. And this was the energy of the telegraph. And they say, well, who invented the telegraph? Inventor Samuel Morris developed the telegraph system. Morse's system sent out a signal in a series of dots and dashes. Each combination represented one letter of the alphabet, Morse code. The inventor submitted a patent. You got that word patent again. The inventor submitted a patent for his device, which he called the American Recording Electromagnetic Telegraph in 1837. What Samuel Morse did, Morse code, I remember Morse code, Samuel Morse did, what he did was he patented it. And I remember Morse code because when I was in the Boy Scouts, I was about 12 years old. This was early 60s. I was in the Boy Scouts, and, you know, we had to learn Morse code. So, but you saw what they called it, right? They called it the American Recording Electromagnetic telegraph. Okay? So there was a science that they were discovering, which Allah created, okay, electromagnetics, which is still being studied today, that was able to, as a matter of fact, what they did was they were able to put up telephone poles and they were able to get signal sent through wires. And when they sent these signals through wires, then this was the dots and the dashes. They could send the signal through something and go dot 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 dot. So that was the first understanding that they were getting from this. They were getting this that there was. They were able to send messages by dots and dashes. So one dot would be a dot, but a long dot would be dot. So we was able to send this line of They was able to send that through wire, which was the way that they actually did the communicating. And so they wound up making a code, which was, you know, Morse code. It was dot. Dot 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 dot. And so you had to understand what the Morse code was in order to get the message. Okay. So that's an advancement in the technology. That's in understanding the science. That is understanding Allah's creation. Basically, that's what I'm saying. So we move forward. And so we get up until this technological time where, you know, like, you know, scientists and everybody is, and technicians are always engineering. They're always studying, trying to figure out some of the sciences. And the science that they're creating today, I'm going to use the example of the GPS system. The GPS system can get us, the GPS inventor, they have it as Ivan A. Getting, Roger Easton, Bradford Parkinson. These are who invented the GPS? Dr. Gladys West. Well, Dr. West, the journey to be recognized as one of the key figures behind the invention has been a long one. Oh, my God. It's a black woman. The Global Positioning System, originally Navstar GPS, is a satellite-based radio navigation system owned by the United States government and operated by the United States. Okay. Wow, I see this picture of this woman, man. You know, she's a black woman. You say Dr. West, she's probably a woman, Gladys West, the hidden figure who helped invent the GPS. Okay. The Global Positioning System. That's what GPS stands for, Global Positioning System. So the way that, I'm sure that many of you already know what, you know, the way that the Global Positioning System works, because, I mean, you know, like I use it every day in my car when I got to go someplace, or, you know, I just put in the address of the place I have to go. And, you know, what happens is my car has a receiving base, but it shoots the information from my car up to a satellite, and then it shoots it down to the place that I want to go, and then it gives me the directions on how to get there. That's what it does. So, I mean, at one time, we used to have to use maps. We used to have to open up the map and, you know, do this and do that. We don't have to do that anymore. All you got to do is use a GPS. We can even use a GPS on our phones. That's just how far the technology has come. I'm mentioning all of this, all right, just to, you know, to cut it short, you know, especially as far as the technology, because I don't have enough time in here, to say that technology has brought us a long way, and there's a lot of positive and constructive things that has been done with the technology. But the most important thing to understand is that it is Allah who created these advancements that human beings are just discovering. He said, or has Surah 27, or who has created the heavens and the earth and who sends down rain from the sky, yea, with it we grow well-planted orchards full of beauty and delight. So it's not only things that are being done on the earth that are created by the creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah. It is also those things that you can't see. When Benjamin Franklin was flying that kite, he discovered an energy that he could not see, but he was able to capture it. And from then on, they started to do study as far as the electromagnetics is concerned. When the same thing happened with the telegraph, Samuel Morse, that's why he called it the American Recording Electromagnetic Telegraph in 1837, because they were studying and researching the electromagnetic field of the creator of the heavens and the earth that is known as Allah. So we should never forget that any of the advancements that the human being makes is because of what the creator of the heavens and the earth has put into his creation that the human being is just starting to discover. So I don't care if they say that Elon Musk is the richest man in the world. I don't care if they say whatever it is that they say about these people that have control of technology. It is Allah. Allah is still the one that's in control as far as technology is concerned, and we should never forget that. Never forget that. Never forget that is Allah that is in control as far as these things. And if we want to participate in that, we can. We don't have to, but we can. But it's important to understand that all of these things are controlled by, well, the human being is getting control, but Allah is the one that's at the foundation of it. There's some big issues that are actually going on in that have to do with technology in politics. And the politicians are angry because they were saying some negative, very negative things about their opponents. We say the Democrats and the Republicans. And we found out that using the technology, a representative made a figure of Ilhan Omar. She's a Muslim congressperson from one of the states. And he actually put it up on social media that he was going to kill, that he was killing her. It was a cartoon kind of thing that was made, but he made that and they took it down and he beefed about it. What? This is free speech. I got a right to say what I want to say. And so Twitter, before Elon Musk bought it, there were certain things that they would allow to be put up, and there were certain things that they didn't allow. As a matter of fact, if you remember, Donald Trump was banned from Twitter because of the negative things that he was saying on the social media platform. And they were trying to keep it, they were trying to keep some kind of civility on this platform that was called Twitter. Also, the same thing with Facebook, Instagram, these social media sites. They were trying to keep some civility because in order to be elected, these elected officials were using these social media platforms to lambast, and they could put lies up on these platforms, and the general public would just go for it. When they said this thing about the IRS, is going to 87,000 new workers, and they're going to go AK-47s and the AK-15s, and they're going to come to your house. That was a lie, but it was put out there by on social media, and people believed it because what one of the parties wanted to do, one of the party, Republican and Democratic parties, one of the parties wanted to say that the government was corrupt. And that was the first thing that, you know, the former president said, the government is corrupt, the FBI is corrupt. Fake news. He kept on putting out there fake news. So, you know, what it did was it started to make the common person doubt. It created doubt in people. And when people had that kind of doubt, you know, then they was like, well, who should I believe? And then they said, well, I'm going to believe this news channel, but I'm not going to believe that news channel, because this news channel was controlled by one of the parties, and that news channel is controlled by another news party. And so the news media, what they did is like, it's like, yo, man, if we go extreme this way, then, you know, people that believe in us, they will believe in us and they will go extreme. And then on the other side, they said, well, if we use this media, then people will believe us. So it's about, really about the truth. But now the thing is that, you know, what is the truth? Surah 6, Al-Anam. Praise be to Allah, who created the heavens and the earth and made the darkness and the light. Yet those who reject faith hold others as equal with their guardian Lord. Ooh. Verily, your Lord is Allah, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days and is firmly established on the throne of authority, regulating and governing all things. Not some things, all things. And because Allah is the one that regulates and governs all things, you know, that don't get distracted with this stuff. The other part is this here, you know, because there are some people who think that going with traditional ways of, you know, people are saying, oh, yo, you should, you know, I'm talking the pioneer generation right now. They're saying that, you know, the pioneer generation should get in, should participate in social media. I don't know, because when you participate in social media, you have to give up a lot of information. You have to give up information like your name, your address, your phone number, your marital status, your gender, your ethnicity. And I'm just talking about them. Don't be surprised if they ask for your, if you're dealing with a bank or something like that, they want your bank information. They want your social security. You got a credit card, you want to get a credit card. They want your social security information. So a lot of times, you know, a lot of these, you have to give up a lot of information in order to participate in social media. So sometimes it's best to just, you know, just stay with the traditional way of doing business. Sometimes it's best. Why? Because if you stay that way, then you don't have to give up your personal information. When you go to the post office and you get a money order, you listen, do you have the money? That's all I want to know. Do you have the money? When you go down to the pay your electrical bill, you know, you and that person have it. You go down there. Are you paying this? Yes, I'm paying this. And you don't have to give up your personal information. On social media does a lot of collecting of personal information. And a lot of pioneers don't want to give up their personal information, so they don't participate in social media. They don't get on Facebook. They don't get on Twitter and some of them other places. Wow, man, the time is basically up. I'll probably go a little over because of the problem I had with the I had a little problem. Wow, they're not going to let me extend it. So I got 21 seconds left, and I apologize. We had a problem with the direct connect on Blog Talk Radio, so I lost about 20 minutes of the show. But I pray that I haven't said anything to